The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Pro Wrestling 101, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you buy anything from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com and click on the Amazon button. Doesn't cost a thing, but a percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you're interested in putting our logo on your chest, go over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and buy one of our logo shirts. Or if you feel like buying a Shining Wizards Network shirt or any other designs that we've come up with, go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Become our friend on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Come check us out on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Or send us some hate mail, WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed tonight's program and thanks for your continued support.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast, and this is the best day of my life.
Right, guys, you are joining the Shining Wizards, who are on a little bit of a hiatus right now, but we are in studio talking about SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer. Matt, Tony, and myself, Kevin, we're going to talk all things SummerSlam today, huh?
Hiatus.
Hiatus. I know. I did a double H there. H-a.
That's nice, though.
Can we leave that in?
Sure. I don't care.
I think we're good to go now.
In your face.
In your face. Fuck it.
So we've convened here on a Sunday afternoon.
Wait,
what?
Kevin fucked up.
Oh, I don't know.
I said no hiatus.
No.
I was paying tribute to my Native American roots.
Wow, you are still.
I thought you were singing Mano.
Yikes.
I hate it.
I lost my whole train of thought right there.
Well, we're talking SummerSlam tonight.
We are. SummerSlam. We got together on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Thunderstorms looming in the area.
It's gorgeous.
Figured, why not talk a little SummerSlam and not what's going on in a couple days. We're talking about all the way back to the beginning, all the way up until, I don't know, I stopped watching wrestling in the 2000s and then picked it back up in like 2011. I guess is when I started watching it again. Yeah, I really took a long break. And just on Wikipedia, just looking through like SummerSlams that I missed out on, they permanently hold SummerSlam at the Staples Center now.
In L.A. now.
Because that's where it's been the last like 5 years. That's a bit dopey.
It's the biggest party of the summer. It's like the WrestleMania of the summer.
Yeah, but it's so gross. Like, I used to like having WrestleMania like every 10 years at the Garden, and they won't even do that anymore. You know?
Well, it's not big enough. It doesn't hold enough people. But the Staples Center doesn't hold a lot of people either.
Nope. The best crowd they had was 17,000 in 2011.
The Garden holds more people.
You're not going to put two stadium shows together in a year for wrestling.
Why not? They did in 90. No, I guess they didn't in 92.
Oh, you're talking about WrestleMania 7? No.
No, 8.
Oh, Wembley. Yeah. SummerSlam. 8 wasn't outside.
Did they
wasn't
have
8 in the Hoosier Dome?
No, one of the pay-per-views was a Royal Rumble in Texas, wasn't it? With Shawn Michaels and Sid in the rematch from the
96.
Garden?
No, that was the Alamo Dome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did they have another stadium event that year at WrestleMania?
96? No.
Okay, so then they only had one a year, right?
Well no, if 92 was what?
That was Wembley.
Right, that's a stadium. And then what was
that's
that?
England.
Hello.
It's still a stadium.
I agree.
Right.
Can't dispute can't that.
WrestleMania 8 was in the Hoosier Dome. That's a stadium.
But it's indoor. I meant like an indoors, outdoor thing.
It's a dome.
All right, we're getting off to a great start.
Well, the original SummerSlam was a concept to stick it to Jim Crockett Promotions once again and try to finally put them out of the business, which they did. Didn't they go up against Clash of the Champions in 1988?
Yeah, I think it was like a Tuesday or a Monday night. Let me look it up here.
Do you remember that when pay-per-views used to be like not on Sundays?
Yep.
Like WrestleMania 2 was on a Monday night, wasn't it?
Everything was bizarre back then. Not even talking about Survivor Series, which was obviously on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve, but they were all bizarre, like weird days of the week, not Sundays.
I really miss Survivor Series being on Thanksgiving and even Thanksgiving Eve, you know, like that night. Yeah. What are you going to do? We weren't old enough to go out drinking yet, you know. Stay home and watch a pay-per-view. It was awesome.
It was great.
And it was a throwaway, but it wasn't, because they still put people that were feuding on opposite teams.
Right, because there wasn't a title match on the show ever. It was just teams against teams, and it was – and which really pisses me off. We're going to get off topic already, is that with 12 or 13 pay-per-views a year, how you can't spare one and just have – teams against teams, it blows my mind.
Too much money to make now.
I guess. I mean, no, that's 100% what it is.
88 was a Monday night.
Was it?
Which is just weird.
Yeah, it's weird that they would put a pay-per-view up against Raw. Oh.
In 1988. Ding.
A-boo.
Did you know the original plan for SummerSlam 88 was to bring over Flair to challenge Savage in the main event for the WWF title.
Wait, Flair Savage?
That's what they were setting up.
Back in 88? Really?
In 88. And then Flair felt obligated to the NWA and didn't leave. So they paired Hogan and Savage as a team.
But wait a minute.
Against DiBiase and Andre?
Yep.
Yeah, but I thought the whole plan was for DiBiase to win WrestleMania, and then this would be the match where he jobbed to Savage.
I'm just reading what they're right here.
Man, this is what's crazy. They actually had all these events planned months in advance, and backup plans and backup plans. Like, you don't hear that these days.
Nope.
No, because everything changes so quickly.
Everything is on the fly.
Tonight I think we're just gonna talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, favorite moments, least favorite moments, matches and stuff. We're not gonna go event to event. Maybe we can argue as to which event we thought was the best SummerSlam. But, I mean, we're just going to bullshit and have a good time, ripping a page out of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, talking about the past. So, I mean, what do you guys want to start with? You have a favorite match? You have a least favorite match? A favorite card, top to bottom?
Well, I can tell you, I went to SummerSlam back in 97. The Undertaker defended the WWF Championship against Bret the Hitman with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee.
Yes.
And I think, as a matter of fact, didn't Christy Whitman get a presentation?
They did the thing where, like, you had like a key, and like if your key like opened something, you won like $1 million.
Okay. It was there, but there was something else.
She was there. She was there.
Yeah, but they gave her a championship because she had the tax eliminated on wrestling.
Yeah.
And everybody booed. For those of you who don't know, Governor Christy Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, first female governor, I believe, in the state.
Yeah.
And she was actually the one that turned the sales tax back to 6%.
Yeah.
And now it's 7% again anyway, so whoop-de-doo, la-di-da. But we digress. Yeah, in that show, the British Bulldog wrestled Ken Shamrock, and if Ken Shamrock lost, he had to eat dog food.
I can name every single match on that card.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The Godwins versus... actually, that was one of the most lackluster SummerSlam cards.
You think so?
Really? I 100% think so.
Didn't they have a big fight with the Legion of Doom came out with Ahmed Johnson?
No, Legion of Doom fought the Godwins.
Oh, no, but wait,
It was the Barriquas versus the DOA.
Yes.
The Nation of Domination came down through the
right
crowd.
Yes.
Brian Pillman fought Goldust. The only bright spot other than the main event was Mick Foley versus Triple H in the cage.
Yes.
Let off the show. What's that?
Austin broke his neck.
Owen Hart. That wasn't a bright spot.
The match was good up until that point.
Up until Austin broke his neck. But no, it was that's when he won the Intercontinental, or was he already the Intercontinental Championship.
And then they stripped him of it, and then Owen won a tournament, and then Austin beat Owen like the next month.
Was that the tournament that Farouk, like it was like Farouk and Owen in the finals?
Is that the one where Farouk hurt his kidneys?
No, that was the was that?
Whatever.
Where he kicked Ahmed Johnson?
But I thought that
No. Excuse me.
It's getting all excited.
I'm choking to death over here. when Farouk kicked Ahmed in his kidneys, and he broke his kidneys, that's when they had the tournament, and that's the one where Mark Merrow won.
Mark Merrow.
With Mr. Perfect in his corner. And
Owen Hart, or Farouk cost somebody that... It was Mark Merrow, Farouk in the finals, and then Owen Hart cost somebody something.
That's a whole other subject for a whole other episode.
Fair enough.
So you were saying 97. You were at 97. I was at 97.
I was at 97.
I know. Shining Wizards. Eddie was at 97. Huge fans of... I'm sorry. I can't speak for everyone. I'm a huge fan of Bret Hart. I thought the match was great. I thought the ending made perfect sense with the direction they were going.
Yeah, with screwing Bret out of the title in 2 months.
Well, I mean, who knew it was going to go
was
that way?
So
it
was so good.
The storyline.
With Shawn Michaels as the ref, it was so perfect because, like... He was the bigger story than the match, but Bret Hart gets the belt back for I think that was his fifth.
Yeah, it was his fifth.
That was his last run.
Yep. All right, there it is.
But awesome match. Probably
it was an awesome show. I had a great time. I think it was because I was there with like 14 other people. Like we had like 2 rows of seats.
Yeah, so did we.
It was
actually
incredible.
I went to that show. They were filming the Bret Hart documentary.
Oh, Wrestling with Shadows.
Wrestling with Shadows.
Gotcha.
And I actually was interviewed for that, but they didn't use my interview.
Aboo.
I had the Canadian flag with me. They had the guys with the British face paint on, and they got on. I was right there with them, but they didn't use my interview.
I'm pretty sure the night after this was where DX formed, too.
X-Pac showed up. Yep.
No, not after SummerSlam. After SummerSlam, they Triple H and Michaels... they fucking bashed Undertaker with a chair. It was in Atlantic City.
I was there for that show, too.
Taker did the blade job, a really nice blade job. And I think that was where the seeds were planted for DX, where those two clowns started hanging out together. Because then it went to Bad Blood, Kane, Survivor Series, Michaels, Hart.
You got a better memory than I do.
Well, that's about it for me and my memory. 97 was okay. I think my favorite SummerSlam is 92.
Was that the one at Wembley?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was headlined by Bulldog Bret.
Bulldog and Bret Hart, which might be the best SummerSlam match I've ever seen.
It's pretty good.
That's a good one.
I mean, going forward at past the 2000s, like I can't talk about Brock Rock or something.
Arguably Davey Boy's best match ever.
And he was all fucked up on it, Bret said in his book, too.
No, it was a great show. I mean, you also had the weird storyline of... Macho Man versus the Ultimate Warrior, and which corner was Mr. Perfect going to be in? Because he was managing Ric Flair at the time, and they were teasing that he would side with Ultimate Warrior or Macho Man, and it turned out that he didn't either. DQ finish. Macho Man retains the championship.
It was a count out. Sorry.
Listen, I'm off. Whatever.
No, you're good.
I'm looking at, like, the main matches and the main events of all like the SummerSlams. Dude, SummerSlam is a huge event.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like some of these, like I'm looking back, like in 94, you had Bret defending against Owen in the steel cage. That was a great match.
Yeah, but Undertaker versus Undertaker was not a great match.
Well, I mean,
Primetime Brian Lee is a stud.
It was as good because George Kennedy and Leslie Nielsen were delivering Domino's pizzas.
what a terrible, terrible.
Not as terrible as Diesel defending against King Mabel in 95.
Oh, God.
What else was on that card?
Was that the one in Philly or no?
The King of the Ring was in Philly.
They had a rematch of Shawn and Razor in a ladder match.
That's a great match, too.
Which got almost triple the amount of time Diesel and King Mabel got. Bret Hart and fucking Isaac Yankum. Oh, God.
Well, that was when they were just sticking Bret with anybody and everybody.
Well, with Lawler, it was a Lawler thing.
Yeah.
Let me see. SummerSlam. Let me see. 91 was Hogan and the Warrior versus Slaughter, Mustafa, and Adnan. That was the infamous.
That's when Warrior held up the company for money.
Held him up and got fired. Yep. Warrior and Rude in the Cage was 1990. I thought that was a great match. was when Warrior was champ.
I'm going to have to watch that again.
Yes, that's a good – I like that 1990.
Is that when Piper – didn't Piper – who did Piper, like, flash or moon in a cage match? Was that that match?
Oh, my God, yeah. Where
Piper came down and just mooned somebody and ended up losing the match for it?
What was that?
I think it was the Rude Warrior match. I could be wrong.
Was it?
Somebody? Yeah, I remember him lifting up his kilt.
Lift up his kilt and did something.
Maybe?
No, it's 100% a fact. Maybe it wasn't a SummerSlam, but anyway.
No, now that's stuck in my head.
Yeah, well, we have the interweb in front of us.
Mackie looked that up. So your favorite match you're saying was probably Bret against the Bulldog.
Yeah, I think all my favorite SummerSlam matches involve Bret Hart, though.
Well, because you're a big Bret Hart fan, that's why.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was thinking about it on our ride over here. Bret Hart has great SummerSlams. His match when he solidified himself as a superstar by himself, beating Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship in 1990. I think that was on that show too, right? Because he lost, Mr. Perfect lost in 91 to Texas Tornado, but 90, or was the other way around?
No, 91 was Texas Tornado.
91 was Texas Tornado. 90, Bret Hart put the sharpshooter on Mr. Perfect.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's the other way around.
90
right?
was
Texas Tornado.
I'm sorry.
And 91 was Bret Hart.
Was also where the Million Dollar Man, he bought fucking Sapphire.
Ooh, dastard.
And fucking Sensational Queen Sherry beat her by forfeit.
I remember that so well because Dusty Rhodes was like,
Where's Sapphire?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan shows up like, well, I don't know, Dusty, but we'll keep looking for her. All right. It was so great.
Oh, God. 90. The only reason why I remember 90 so well, two things. The Tornado beating Mr. Perfect because I thought Kerry Von Erich was fucking awesome.
Should have been if he didn't kill himself, he would be. He'd be a big star.
He'd be awesome. that match. And then Hart Foundation beating Demolition 2 out of 3 falls for the tag titles.
When the LOD came to...
Yeah, because fucking...
Axe was under the ring.
Just fucking smash across. But the only reason I remember 90 so well was because of the first match. Power and Glory beat the Rockers, and they banged up
Shawn Michaels with
knee.
The chain.
They Hercules banged up his chain. Knee, and the whole match he was like laying outside the ring just not doing anything. It was a total squash. And it was always the first match on the VHS. And as a kid, like...
I love the Rockers.
4 matches in, and I'd be like so like just pissed off at Shawn Michaels, and fucking
dude, he got hurt.
Herc and Jerk, you fucks, so mad at them.
I love Power and Glory, but I love the Rockers too.
Power and Glory had huge potential.
I agree.
They could have ran with that for years.
With Slick there, you out of your mind?
I mean, look, nobody thought that Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg were anything. And they took off like crazy. It was the same thing with Power and Glory.
Two job guys that they just paired together, and it was gold. Because the guys had untapped potential, and they realized it. Road Dogg is – you find me like 10 guys or 5 or 6 guys better than the Road Dogg on the mic? I don't think you can.
What do you think Big Boss Man's payday was for SummerSlam 90? Because he did a whole lot except for wrestling.
What, is that the Jailbird match?
No, he was a special guest referee for the Jake Roberts Bad News Bears match.
Bad News Bears, Jesus.
Excuse me,
Walter Matthau brought the kids to the ring.
Was that the rat, the river rat?
No.
And
and the snake? Yeah,
Bad News Brown? Yeah.
And then he was with Hogan when he fought the Earthquake with Jimmy Hart and Dino Bravo. He didn't wrestle at all.
Tugboat was supposed to be there.
And Tugboat was in the hospital.
Yeah.
What a dick bag.
Our friend, Mr. Fred Ottman.
What a bunch of shitty matches, though. They'd really fill in.
They used to, yeah. When
the
pay-per-view...
It's
the
same thing. It's Haku versus somebody. It's Dino Bravo versus Hercules or something.
Warlord against Tito. Nikolai Volkoff and Jim Duggan against the Orient Express.
Did you guys happen to see... somebody posted a picture recently of Haku. He works at a car dealership in Florida.
Does he really?
Yeah. It had his like employee profile and everything. It was his picture with his name and how long he's been working there and stuff.
Haku makes bank, probably.
Probably does.
The whole build-up between Savage and Dusty, right?
If you will.
It doesn't culminate until like Survivor Series, right?
Is that when he was still the king? Was he King Savage? Probably.
Yeah,
I think so,
yeah.
Queen's
he was a
cherry
king
with
a long
him.
Time. Yeah.
They build up this whole thing. They fucking, the Million Dollar Man buys Sapphire. And then
Sapphire.
Sapphire.
And then Randy Savage, Dusty Rhodes, they give him 2 minutes and 15 seconds in a match.
If you will.
Because Sapphire comes out and she's all blinged yeah. out. But
see,
I mean,
that,
come on.
That led Dusty to Rhodes. The Dusty Ted DiBiase thing that had nothing to do with the Macho Man match. Like, it was bizarre how they did that, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, Macho just had to move on.
Everything moved on and they progressed because then he was still the king and he used his scepter to hit the Warrior on the head. The Mets are winning 2-0.
All right.
Sorry.
Are you getting texts about the Mets?
I get
they trade
updates.
Bartolo Colon yet?
Not yet.
Hey, hey, they may have traded Bartolo Colon by the time this airs.
Oh, yeah, good
Come
point.
Come on, for real, guys, kayfabe.
Whatever.
Let's see.
Jesus.
What else? I can't even get, like, 2000, 2001, like...
2002 was when Brock Lesnar beat The Rock, became the youngest world champion for 2 years.
Like, now, like,
until
you're
Randy
getting
Orton.
Into, like, the, like, 2003, there's, like, six main events. What am I reading here? Kurt Angle versus Brock, Kane
yeah,
versus Rob
this,
Van Dam.
Like,
how is Kane versus Rob Van Dam in a no hold barred match considered main event?
It's Rob Van Dam, bro.
Why don't we talk about then? I think it was 1998, the SummerSlam at the Garden.
Brock Triple H
with
Austin
the Rock
Undertaker.
Triple H that ladder match, which basically solidified both guys as ridiculously top tier talents. Triple H and the Rock in the ladder match. Was fantastic.
Yeah.
A very underrated ladder match that gets forgotten when we talk about Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon or the tag matches with the Hardys and the Dudleys.
Wait, was that the SummerSlam that was Highway to Hell?
Highway to Hell. Undertaker, yes. Austin.
Yeah, well, I still remember that picture, dude, where Austin had the top of the Empire State Building
yeah,
and Undertaker
yeah.
had like the Statue of
yep.
Liberty.
They flip him.
Or something
had,
like that.
Austin
whatever.
Had the statue.
Nobody's perfect, man.
No, that's
well,
good.
Austin
that's
beats
impressive.
Women, that's why.
Ooh.
Allegedly.
But even that, like...
Beat Deborah.
Let's see.
Dude, there was good match. I mean, that wasn't a great card
no,
either.
No, you know what? You look. I mean,
X-Pac, Jeff Jarrett in
hair?
The hair match. That's when Jeff Jarrett got his hair cut and became... he reinvented himself with that. Which I thought was pretty cool because I thought Jeff Jarrett was going to be a bigger star in WWE. But that's, again... conversation for another day.
The Lion's Den match?
The Lion's Den.
Oh, God.
Was that there?
Yeah.
That was in the theater.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
At MSG.
When they whipped each other into the cage and they sort of stumbled back like they hit the ropes. Come on.
You had Kai and Tai versus fucking the Oddities.
There you go.
Evil.
Evil. This was before. This was like all of them. This was like, it wasn't just Funaki and Taka.
Was it Men's Teo?
Teo and
yeah, Dick Togo.
Dick Togo.
Togo, yeah.
I just watched Barely Legal 97 the other day again.
Yeah.
That was a great match that they were involved in.
Oh, with the great Sasuke?
The six-man with Take Yakihishi and Terry. You know, who's the other guy on their team? Hamada? Hamada was
Hamada?
There.
Yeah,
Hamada, there you go. Grand Hamada.
I just actually started watching the old DC. I watched Heat Wave 98, and I watched November to Remember 98.
Some of the old shows, like... just around the switch and before the switch, they were pretty painful.
This
was pretty painful.
The opening card, the opening match for November to Remember was Blue Meanie and our friend Blue Meanie, Brian.
And probably Nova.
And Nova against
the FBI.
The Amish.
No, the Amish
and
Danny Doring.
There you go. Yeah. They were mainstays. They were like pay-per-view openers for like six in a row.
And then I saw the FBI with, it was Guido, obviously. It was Tommy Rich, Tracy Smothers, and this other guy who
Tony
I never
Mama
saw
Luke.
Before. No, not Tony Mama Luke. This was
the fat guy, Big Sal?
No, not Big Sal. It was this weird, like, guy. He almost
the
like
tall
Hulk
guy.
Hogan.
Big
tall
Guido.
Guy with, like, blonde hair and, like, a beard. It was bizarre. I never.
No, him, I don't remember.
It may have been the one shot. I don't know, but it was just, like, so bizarre seeing.
Was it Big? There was one that was Big Fat. Was it
there
Big
was
Sal?
Big Sal.
And then there was, like,
well,
a Big
Sal
Guido.
Grangiano was the big. That's a Big Show. Kicked on the balls and emasculated in like a matter of seconds in WWE. CW.
One Man Gang, Johnny Stromboli, Ulf Herman.
That's who it is. It was it sounded like a German name.
Ulf Herman.
Let's see. I bet you he was there for one.
He's a blonde haired dude, long hair.
This is the Wizard SummerSlam Spectacular.
He briefly joined
ECW.
The FBI for November to Remember 98.
We're going to have to start over, aren't
no,
we?
This is fine, man. Pete, dude, this is what we're known for, going off on tangents. Please, if you haven't left us a review, go to iTunes or Stitcher. We've actually got quite a few new reviews on iTunes.
How about Stitcher?
A few as well. Somebody hates Eddie on Stitcher. Big surprise.
Was it Tony? Tony Rich?
Timothy Rich, whatever.
I don't know. There was no name. It was anonymous.
Tony Rich?
Probably generic to say.
Back to SummerSlam.
Yeah, let's go back to where do we leave off? Dude. We left off at the 98 SummerSlam. We can go forever about it.
Zeus!
89.
Macho Man and Zeus. There's Hogan and the Barber.
Human wrecking machine.
In our backyard.
All to promote a goddamn movie.
Zeus. No, this was after the movie, wasn't it?
No, this was right around.
Well, this they.
It could have been after, but.
Yeah, it was after, because Hogan did No Holds Barred the year earlier while Macho Man was champ.
But why would they bring Zeus in after that? Then?
Because movies. Wasn't like, the storyline that, like, the movie was filmed, and then as it was coming out, like. They were using Zeus to promote the movie.
Zeus didn't want a job in the movie, so he was taking it to the streets. That's exactly how they wrote it off.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I remember they were showing kids in the theater going to see it, and Mr. Brell, who died in the movie, allegedly, was alive at the movie theater yelling at kids.
About
the movie, yes.
There you go, folks.
Yeah, and it wasn't like movies nowadays. Like movies then, they would hang on into the theaters for months.
I would never leave the movie theater. Like after.
Remember the good old days? You'd go to a theater with like 30 different movies playing at once.
Absolutely.
You just spend all day there.
They did a whole like
Zeus.
No Holds Barred the movie.
Yeah, the movie The Match. You don't
and
remember
the match.
That?
I don't remember.
It was
the
like
match.
The day after Christmas that year,
it
wasn't
was December, it?
It
aired December 27th.
Yep. It was a couple of matches. It was the
Zeus had,
match.
Zeus had one move. Pound on the back.
Yes.
Oh no, and wrench the neck. And wrench the neck.
And wrench the neck, yeah. You'd pound on your shoulder blades and then we just rip the neck. And that was Tiny
and he put
Lester.
His fists out.
Yeah. With his silver pants.
And you didn't hear Zeus complaining about an eight-sided ring.
Ooh.
Ooh, snap.
It's fucking Zeus. Zeus was so horrifying.
Zeus was the best.
At the time.
Didn't he come out at Saturday night's main event where Hogan and Big Boss Man were in the cage?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he stood on the steps.
And yep. He hurt
and
Hogan.
And he was just like this. He was Hogan,
and Hogan still managed to beat the Boss Man.
See, I was 6 years old God. At that time. And I still remember that like it was. And not even I haven't seen that match
yes,
since then.
You are absolutely right.
But
absolutely right.
I was 6 years old and watched it, and I believed that Zeus was a bad dude.
Yeah,
I believed it
because
he was a big bad dude.
And he was just cross-eyed weird. Like a
he had like the kiss lift boots though. Which
and he had like
really...
the Z shaved in
the
his
Z
head.
The Z shaved in his head and the unibrow.
Yeah, Tiny Lester, my friend.
And pay the best was
pay your taxes, pal.
The best was that the Macho Man kept trying to control him. Like he'd tag himself in and then put his hands up and tell him to get out.
I pictured it in my head so vividly.
But Macho Man had to, because nobody could control Zeus, you know?
That was great. And then which was bizarre is I'm gonna jump to Survivor Series 89. Ted DiBiase enlisted Zeus in that main event match. It was Zeus had a nice little run.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
Culminated
him,
with that
the Powers of Pain against
headline the pay-per-view at the end of the year too. They
were
originally
when I get home.
The thought was originally going to be Hogan Zeus at WrestleMania that year.
Was it really?
They were going to build it or string it all the way along and headline with Zeus.
So glad they didn't do that.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I have a fucking giant ass Zeus statue sitting on my
Do you really?
No, you see the Savage one I got?
I saw the Savage. You spent $300
He's
on
an
that
idiot.
Thing.
That thing's beautiful.
And you took it out of the box, too.
And it's a McFarlane,
so
it's...
good is it in a box?
I get it, but...
I'm not looking to fucking hawk it on eBay.
Maybe in 10 years you might.
Great. Guess what? It's a figure. It sits out. I don't play with it. You can't do anything to it.
That's great, though.
I dust it every couple months now.
I would rub my balls on
it. It's beautiful.
For $300, it's got to give me a little something more than just sitting on my shelf.
It is a nice-looking statue. I'll give you that. Savage.
I'll tell you what you could do. Take something out of $300 and take that shitty autograph off the wall and put up some of the better ones we have.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
We're getting real.
All right, so...
on a SummerSlam.
We go back. SummerSlam 89.
I didn't even know what to say to that.
Don't knock my fucking Macho Man Randy the King.
I wasn't knocking it. I just...
Whatever. Yeah, back to SummerSlam. 89. You know what? Another fantastic match. Brainbusters Heart Foundation.
I love the Brainbusters, man. Such a great team. In WWE, very underrated team in WWE. They didn't get the... They were tag team champions. A lot of people forget that. Was that a title match?
No, I don't think so. Man, it's
surprising that those two guys, those two teams, were not in a.
They really just put a bunch of fucking shitty filler.
Demolition.
That's what they used to do for these pay-per-views.
Dude, that's what I love. I love the shitty filler. I would do anything for the shitty filler back on pay-per-views.
Dude, the first WrestleMania was open with Tito Santana against the Executioner, who happened to be Matt Bourne.
Yep. And Matt Bourne had a match, too, against Ricky Steamboat,
I thought it was Buddy Rose.
Oh, it was Buddy Rose. You're right. My bad.
Matt Bourne had a match with Ricky Steamboat. Our guest, September 20th at Legends of the Ring.
Yes, just another month or so away.
We're getting there.
Mark your calendars.
I can't wait, man.
I can't wait either. It's going to be good times.
But
we digress.
Is there like a...
It's a SummerSlam spectacular, but you're going to get everything.
Yeah, that's
we're,
how
we're
we
just talking.
Do you think somebody is like a... You know how like Michaels is like Mr. WrestleMania? Is there like a Mr. SummerSlam?
Shawn Michaels?
Is he?
I don't know. Bret Hart.
If I had to guess... I would say Yokozuna.
Yokozuna? What?
Yeah.
He had
one defense.
Yeah, and he didn't lose the belt.
He's not a mister.
No, see, Shawn Michaels lost at WrestleMania's.
Razor Ramon, maybe.
You know what?
Maybe.
If you look later on, I see John Cena. I see John Cena. I see John... Dude, John Cena's headline...
We're turnbuckle throwback in it. We're going old school.
Yeah, but he's headlined like six or seven SummerSlams.
It's all right.
That's a lot, dude. That is a lot. You don't see Hogan doing that. You don't see Michaels doing that.
Hogan was part of the one, two.
See, back then it was different.
Three.
Like, you could be like the second match, second top match on the card and still be.
Yeah, like four, dude. That was it.
Who, Hogan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
The first four. Dude, look at the last seven. Cena's headlined like the last seven.
And he's
He's headlining this one, so that makes like seven in a row. Daniel Bryan in 2013, CM Punk and Big Show in 2012.
That was a main event? That was a match?
Well, Brock Lesnar Triple H was technically the headline, but I mean, that's a world championship match. CM Punk and John Cena, 2011.
It was CM Punk, John Cena, Big Show, three-way dance.
Nexus versus Team WWE in 2010.
I like that. I love the Nexus.
Team WWE looks... awful.
No. It was R-Truth.
How did R-Truth and John Morrison get there?
Because they were like the...
What's up?
They were like the mid-card guys that always got reactions.
Dude, Bret Hart was on the team.
Yeah.
And then they brought... That's when they brought back Daniel Bryan for the first time.
Yeah.
Miz was going to be on the team, and they were like, you're too late. We got our guy. Daniel Bryan showed up, which was awesome.
I still say they missed the boat big time on Nexus.
I agree.
It was so white hot, and they just pissed it away for Cena.
They put everything. That's what they
did. I guess you might be right. John Cena goes way back.
John Cena's been around the headlining these things for a long ass time.
Did he ever fight Kurt Angle at a SummerSlam?
Dude, if WWE doesn't run with that John Cena's Mr. SummerSlam, they're crazy.
Let's see. I got 05, him against Jericho for the title. 06, him against Edge for the title. 07, him against
Edge.
Orton. 08, him against Batista. 2009, him against Orton. 2010, part of the Nexus thing. 2011, against CM Punk with Triple H as the special guest referee.
That was champion.
That's when
champion.
Del Rio came in and cashed in, right?
Yes, after the Kevin Nash powerbomb.
Yeah, what a debacle that was.
God, Kevin Nash was involved in that.
2012.
Yuck.
I love Kevin Nash.
Against CM Punk, Big Show.
I do too, but they completely ruined a lot of shit by bringing him in at that point.
2013, John Cena against Daniel Bryan. 2014, John Cena, Brock Lesnar.
All right.
Wait, let's take a minute.
So the Shining Wizards declare John Cena.
I mean, I don't.
Mr. SummerSlam.
I think it speaks for itself.
I agree.
It's not really us declaring anything that's not already out there.
I mean,
10 years, dude. 10 years he's been headlining this
makes
shit.
Makes us look good.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Shawn Michaels didn't headline, like, all the WrestleManias.
Right.
And he just put on good matches. Like, I'd have to go back and watch all those matches. Like, I don't know if I can say John Cena is Mr. SummerSlam.
You're right, because the way that Shawn Michaels got that title was putting on amazing matches after year after year.
You know what? You might be right, because even Shawn and Marty against the Twin Towers was a great match.
WrestleMania 6, right?
No, 5.
5?
Yeah, that was a great match. Yeah.
They always open against somebody. Orient Express at 6?
Yes.
I don't remember. Who opened Sky Dome?
I think it was them and Ori and Express.
I think so.
Because
right.
Akeem fought Big Boss Man at 6. Sorry.
Yeah,
we digress.
Matt is rolling with the laptop.
He's actually
today.
Pretty quick. I'm actually very surprised.
Matt's
got
the Google
flu. Rolling with that.
So anyway, let's
They didn't open, but they did fight the Ori and Express.
Was it Rick Martel, Coco Beware? Did that open?
Yes. Very
good,
Kevin.
Wow. Kevin is on fuego.
Can you name the dark match?
Barry Horowitz or Brooklyn Brawler versus
Bad News Brown?
No. Bad News Brown was in a match, actually, I think.
Oh, boo.
He's got the Brawler. I'll give you the Brawler.
Brawler versus
Paul Roma.
Winner.
Ding, ding, ding.
He got me.
Do they ever, like, release the dark matches? Were they on the VHSs?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
VHSs.
Would I like to see any of the dark matches?
VHSs.
Would I like to see a dark match?
Sorry.
Okay, well, while Matt's researching, let me ask you this. We know for sure that John Cena is taking on Brock Lesnar this Sunday at the 2014 SummerSlam.
This Sunday. Yeah, this Sunday.
What do you guys think? Predictions.
It's a title match. Brock Lesnar wins it.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He beat the streak.
Yeah, but just because he beat the streak, like Orton, Jesus, they might want to put Cena over, going like, yeah, you may have beat The Undertaker, but you couldn't beat John Cena.
No, because I think
that's what Eddie would think. Eddie would be like, you're not going to beat the machine. But I think Lesnar goes over.
So do I.
I want to see Lesnar go over. I don't think it's going to happen. I have to say Cena.
I think they.
I don't want to, but I just feel like nothing's going to change.
This match, I honestly couldn't really care less about.
No, you're absolutely right, but
I think they've been itching to put the belt back on Lesnar for a while, so this is the time to do it.
I agree. I just don't know if they're actually going to do it. I totally agree that this is the time. I just don't know what WWE brass is thinking, you know?
No one does.
That's part of the problem. I mean, who would have thought that Bray Wyatt would have lost to Chris Jericho? You know,
right.
Everybody was like foregone conclusion. Jericho's losing.
I was like the front runner with that mindset that it's so transparent what Jericho's job is. He's an enhancement guy now. He's like giving guys the rub, but then Jericho wins. I have to believe that Bray gets his heat back at SummerSlam. I have to believe that.
I don't mean to change gears on you guys.
Oh,
what is a Till Death Do Us Part match?
Was that Kane and
Matt Hardy?
Matt Hardy?
That's when Lita was involved with.
I don't think it was anything special, was it?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a stipulation.
Was when Matt Hardy came back with his like, "I will not die."
What year was that?
Like, fired.
2004.
He got like fired and then came back and had a thing with Edge. And then
why would
Kane got involved
with Lita?
Because Kane. Kane was
hooked up. Wasn't Lita
pregnant with Kane's kid or something?
And that
so
was
Matt
when
Hardy was like, "Oh, okay, you can fuck Edge, and then I'll still be by your side."
That's what happened, basically.
Yeah, I don't
show.
Think they knew where they were going to go. Like, they brought back Matt Hardy, and he
Matt
was crazy
wasn't with
over.
Lita at the time. Like,
but they still paired
on
together?
On a storyline, no. They weren't paired together.
That was after they brought him back, though, right?
Yeah, it was after they brought him back. Lita was paired with Kane / Edge, I think, at this time. And Kane got involved somehow. They did the marriage. Do you remember the wedding storyline where it was Edge and Lita were getting married, and they played Matt Hardy's music, but he didn't show up, and then Kane ended up showing up.
No.
Yeah.
I got to watch the network. There's all that time I missed.
It was actually pretty fun, even though Matt Hardy was ruined.
Oh, here. As a result of the pre-match stipulation, Lita was forced to marry Kane as part of the ongoing storyline. That's why. So that's what it was.
But how did Kane interfaced himself with that storyline?
Well, cause I think it was just one of those like pregnancy stories,
yeah.
Like Tommy Dreamer and Raven.
Remember when D'Lo
like,
Brown
pregnant,
got
Kane's the father.
Remember when D'Lo Brown got Terry pregnant, but wasn't Terry Reynolds? Remember that? No
when
one.
D'Lo Brown.
No one remembers D'Lo Brown storylines.
No, I remember some stuff with him, like when he won the European and Intercontinental belts, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he gave one to Mark Henry.
You gave the European Championship to Mark Henry.
And then he lost the Intercontinental belt to Jarrett like a week
that's
later.
That's when they were like, yeah, that was a bizarre twist too with the three of them.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It was just too many people.
Was that at a SummerSlam?
It might have been.
It could have been at a SummerSlam to tie this all in.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know what I didn't like?
What?
I didn't like China at all, like being involved in wrestling.
being involved in wrestling?
Like, I didn't like that there was, like, mixed tag team matches with fucking Chyna or when she was the IC champion.
With Jericho at the same time.
Ugh, God.
Yeah,
damn.
She was a co-champ, and then she was a champ by herself for
Steve
a while,
Steve Blackman
she?
Wrestled Shane McMahon for the Hardcore Championship.
That was a great match.
That was really
they
good.
That's when Shane took the bump completely off the scaffold. That's when Shane McMahon solidified himself as
when Shane was fucking
dude.
Nuts.
Yeah. And was that with Test or was that with Steve Blackman?
Test.
This is
Jerry Lawler beat Taz?
Yes. Yeah. You know what story that, you know what the storyline was
with our friend PJ.
They redid the Memphis storyline. They put Taz in for somebody else. It was like another like announcer challenges wrestler thing.
Is that when Taz told Jim Ross that God already slapped his face?
I think so.
Probably.
He's like, I'd slap you, but God already did it. And
slap.
Then, well, I got to go back and watch. These are like.
And then people wonder why Oklahoma became a character in WCW 2 years later.
Holy
Ed
shit.
Ed Ferrara?
No, this is 2000. This
well,
is 2000.
Well, that's when Taz pretty much showed up.
X-Pac and the Road Dogg were fighting each other? Yeah. I really need to go back.
Yeah, they broke up DX for a while. Those two were fighting, and then Kane wound up teaming up with Road Dogg. Not Kane, X-Pac.
That was before
teamed up with
that,
Road
Dogg
for a bit.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just looking at
there was just too much going on at that point in time. Everything's
which is
just
a
blur.
Thing.
How did Al Snow end up with the cat and Perry Saturn with
Ernie
Perry?
Ladd?
No, they had a stink face. They had a stink face match.
Wait, Al Snow and Cat had a stink face match?
The cat. With Al Snow defeated Terry with Perry Saturn in a stink face match.
All right.
Well, Terry was with Perry Saturn.
The cat was with Chyna. Terry was definitely with Perry Saturn.
You're welcome.
The cat was a Chyna follow up. She had like the black hair and
yeah, she was like mini Chyna.
Mini Chyna. I don't know how she ended up with Al Snow.
And then she showed her tits on pay per view and
she had the bubble
got fired.
Wrap. Remember the bubble wrap?
And then she cheated on the King, and King didn't have a job anymore.
Yeah.
God, there's just so much shit that was going on.
I really gotta sharpen up.
Do you remember when when did Chyna team up with Scotty Too Hotty and what's his face? Was that WrestleMania? They took on the Radicals? And her pants broke. Remember she was holding her pants up doing the handspring?
They did a whole SummerSlam where it was like WWF versus ECW versus WCW.
That was part of the invasion, wasn't it?
2001.
Wait, but that wasn't winner take all. They did that as
no, there was a tag match. But it was stupid though because Team WCW was like DDP, Booker T.
No, that's Survivor
Shane
Series. I think.
Oh, it's Survivor Series.
I was talking SummerSlam. Look, what do we got?
What SummerSlam?
To 2001. The Jesus Christ steel cage match for the WCW World Tag Team Championships and the WWE.
Oh, Kane and Undertaker versus DDP and Canyon.
Yeah. They'd just known to let Canyon blow them. He wouldn't have to spend 10 minutes in a
R.I.P.
Okay, here. Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle.
Canyon's dead. R.I.P.
You sound so excited about that.
I wasn't excited. I said it once.
He would have been a huge star if he hadn't died.
Canyon
was alive.
Jesus.
Who better than Canyon? Apparently everybody at this point.
Yeah, evidently.
Here, it was Stone Cold versus Kurt Angle for the WWE Championship. And the previous month, Team WWE CW was Booker T, Diamond Dallas Page,
Rob
Rhino, Bubba, and D-Von against Austin, Angle, Jericho, Undertaker, and Kane, which is a hell of a team.
It's a great team.
And that was when Austin turned on them, wasn't it? Yep.
You're the one looking at it. I don't know.
Yeah, Austin turned on WWF when he executed a stunner. They executed a Wikipedia. He gave him a stunner. My God, come on.
What was the... Let me ask you a
they
question.
They botched that invasion angle.
They really did. Jim Ross did... not Jim Ross. Fucking Jim Cornette did a whole, like, six-hour shoot interview about how he would have booked
six
it.
6 hours?
But, like, what was the point of them acquiring WCW and then just unifying all the titles?
The tape library?
Satisfying Vince's ego?
Burying the competition once and for all?
2001 looked like a shitty... Survivor or SummerSlam.
Go
on paper,
over the card.
I'd have to go watch it.
2001. Go. What's the card?
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Edge over Edge Lance Storm.
Lance Storm.
For the WWF Championship.
Intercontinental.
Oh, excuse me. Dudley Boys and Test against the Acolytes and Spike Dudley.
Jesus.
X-Pac Tajiri. I kind of would like to see that.
Tajiri's going to be at TNA in August, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You mean this month?
In August. That's this month.
Yes, in August. Yes, this
dude,
month.
Dude, who cares? I'll say the date right now.
Chris Jericho beat Rhino in a submission match. Van Dam beat Jeff Hardy for the hardcore belt in a ladder match, which I remember that being okay. I don't remember it being anything
How could
special.
It be bad?
Okay, but here's my question, right? Was the hardcore championship still under the anytime, anyplace rules?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. I think it was over and done with by that point. Undertaker and Kane with Sarah defeated DDP and Canyon for both championships, WCW and WWF tag team. Kurt Angle beat Steve Austin for the WWF title, and The Rock headlines
against
beat
Jericho.
Booker T. No, it beat
Booker T.
For the WCW championship.
And he won it. He won the belt from Booker T that night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, The Rock beat Booker T.
There it is.
Sucker!
Love Booker T. Booker T's the man of the summer, I think.
No, it's John Cena. John Cena's Mr. SummerSlam.
All right.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Vinyl Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkman, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5-4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart, and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net. Or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, Podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
Shining Wizards Network, and a happy new year, horse's ass.
Do you think it was huge in 99 when they brought back Jesse Ventura to be the guest referee?
I thought it tied a lot of ends with WWE, because he was the special guest referee of the first SummerSlam, right?
Yes. Didn't he throw Shane out? And he called, he said, that's for your son of a bitch old man or something like that.
I don't know.
Maybe. Do you recall this, right?
I remember when he did commentary?
He threw Shane McMahon out because Shane got involved. And he's like, that's for your old man, you son of a bitch or something like that. He yelled at, what's his name?
It's possible.
And this is when he was governor, dude.
He was at Minnesota.
He was governor and he didn't want to get involved. And apparently, I think it was in McFoley's book, He told Vince, he told Mick, he was like, you know, they keep telling me not to get involved. It's bad for my image, but fuck it. I'm going in there and we're doing this.
Nice.
Yeah.
They had a Lion's Den weapon match at SummerSlam 99.
Steve Blackman?
And Ken Shamrock. They really milked the fucking Lion's Den thing, huh?
Wasn't Owen Hart in...
Yeah, that was...
We already talked about
the year before? 98.
We just talked about that before.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they built the Lion's Den. They had to use it more than once.
Yeah.
The Rock.
What are we going to do with this structure?
This is what they were doing with The Rock at SummerSlam 99. A Kiss My Ass match against Mr. Ass.
Well, who else would you have a Kiss My Ass match with?
Dude, Billy Gunn was going to be their guy. Gunn was going to be a big star for them.
Because I'm an ass man.
And then they put him with Chuck.
I like that team.
I like that team, too.
I like Billy and Chuck.
They shit the bed doing the whole fucking gay marriage angle.
Yep.
Why do they always have to do another wedding
angle.
But why do they have to do that? And then they're like, oh, hey, kayfabe, it's wrestling. Oh.
I'll tell you.
That got a lot of publicity back then.
It did, but it was like, you got to go through with it. You know what I'm saying?
And then that's when they had 3-minute. Did they have 3-minute warning come out and destroy them?
That was 3-minute. Oh, I love 3-minute warning. When Bischoff would come out and he'd say, like,
You got three.
He'd look at his watch. He's like, 3 minutes.
That's what it was.
Oh,
Bischoff was the minister of that wedding, I think. And then he
was it?
And then he pulled off
Holy shit, yes.
He pulled off the old face and was like, you have 3 minutes. And that's when Rico joined 3-minute warning, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God, Rico.
I could be wrong.
What'd you think of Rico and Charlie Haas and Jackie Gata being together?
Oh, God. I'm a huge Charlie Haas guy, so that kind of threw me for a loop. But I'm also a huge Jackie Gata. I love Charlie Haas. I thought he got a raw deal.
Yeah.
At least he didn't get his brother's deal.
Him and Shelton.
No. Did you make a joke about Russ?
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Did you make a dead Russ joke?
Oh, boo.
No, I said at least he didn't get his brother's deal.
Jesus.
That's a dead Russ joke.
How many dead jokes are we going to make tonight?
I think we're up to 3.
Oh, boo.
96 SummerSlam. Very underrated, I think.
I thought that was a terrible SummerSlam.
When was the last time you watched Owen Hart, Savio Vega?
That was a good cast match, right?
Dude.
You had British Bulldog and Sid. And Sid.
Wait, 96? It was Michaels and Vader.
Yeah, that was
a great match.
That's a good match.
Was that the Big Fat Piece of Shit match?
No, Big Fat Piece of Shit wasn't in your house. I think it was like a free-for-all.
What?
When Vader, like, after the match, like, they have the camera on him. His mask is all broken. He's bleeding.
Is that when he had his... Did you ever see him wear a singlet, like, the wrong way?
Oh, yes.
And he's like, I'm a big fat piece of shit.
You know, I read a story about that. That's not how that was supposed to go down.
What, him yelling at the kid?
Who did he wrestle that night?
Big fat piece of shit? I don't know.
Whoever he worked, he was supposed to come out and say he wasn't prepared, but he's going to get back. Because that was when he was trying to lose weight, too. And he was going to come back and be bigger and stronger, whatever. But he completely fucked it up. Like, he lost where he was, and that's when he went into, I'm a big fat piece. I don't know how you get there, but that's what happened.
Do you remember when Sid, like... was doing a promo and thought that it was taped, but it was live.
Yes, with Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, can we take that over?
Yeah, do this again.
He goes, like, no, oh, we're live, pal.
Like, you see, like, Road Warrior Hawk walking in the back.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I fucked this up.
It was his mask versus mask match against Kane at Over the Edge.
98, probably, right?
When he said it was a big fat piece of shit.
Vader said, I made the biggest mistake of my life. Maybe Vader time is over. I'm a piece of shit.
See, he was
a big fat piece of shit.
See, he was supposed to say. He was supposed to say, I wasn't ready for Kane. I wasn't prepared.
A big fat piece of shit.
But look, he had a great match against Shawn Michaels. Mankind Undertaker was cool for the Boiler Room Brawl match.
That's when Paul Bearer turned on him, right?
Yeah. Goldust Mark Marrow was awesome, too. That's when Mark Marrow first used the fucking Shooting Star Press.
What about Lawler against Jake Roberts?
God.
Bottle of Thunderbird.
Is that when Mark Henry came in?
Yes. Fucking Mark Henry.
Oh, nothing here we go.
Nothing like putting Mark Henry in all black so you just see teeth and eyes coming down the road.
Oh, he was wearing the American...
Sorry, was that loud?
That was fine.
The Smoking Guns.
I cut off his joke, which I
The Smoking Guns defeated the Body Donnas, the New Rockers with Leaf Cassidy, and the Godwins in a 4-way elimination. Boy, they loved their 4-way eliminations with the tag belts back then.
They did.
Every fucking show.
Yeah. You had like Doug Furness and Phil LaFond and the New Rockers and the Blackjacks.
They really did nothing with either one of those teams.
That's a damn shame. 95 is pretty shitty.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
I can tell you 95, I think. Hakushi versus Skip. No, Barry Horowitz versus Skip. Hakushi versus 123 Kid.
Holy shit.
Mabel versus Diesel, obviously. Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels.
Right.
God, that's all I got.
The book fucking terrible.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Dude, the Undertaker wrestled Kama in a casket match.
Ooh. Remember, ooh. I was watching Raw Rewind, and I forgot that Kama melted the urn into like a chain.
Into made a chain. Yeah. Of course he did.
God, go on. Just 94 SummerSlam is bad, too.
That's the cage match.
Well, what about the first SummerSlam?
Like, how did
the Mega Powers against the Mega Bucks?
That was awesome.
I love that match. Jesse was involved. That was his match.
Razor Ramon with Walter Payton against Diesel and Shawn Michaels.
Walter Payton.
Alunder Blaze and Bull Nakano got more time than IRS, Bigelow, the Head Shrinkers, Tatanka, Lex Luger, Jeff Jarrett, Mabel. And they got 40 seconds. The main event got 40 more seconds than Alunder Blaze and Bull Nakano.
Alunder Blaze.
Alundra Blaze was awesome. She could go, man.
God. Little did they know that she was going to throw the WWE Women's Championship belt.
Chuck Norris was a ringside enforcer, too.
Of course he was.
Yeah, he super kicked Jeff Jarrett.
You guys were concerned about that.
Yeah, I was.
Jesus.
SummerSlam 88. This is what we got. We got the Bulldogs versus the Rougeaus in a time limit. Bad News Brown defeated Ken Patera.
Ken Patera.
Rick Rude defeated the Junkyard Dog. The Powers of Pain beat the Bolsheviks.
Let me ask you this about the Rick Rude match. Was that when he had Jake the Snake Roberts tights, like his wife's tights?
I don't know. It says he beat the Junkyard Dog by DQ.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, because he pulled down his tights and had Jake the Snake's wife on his tights, and then Jake the Snake ran in and...
Yes, he went to the top, pulled down his tights to reveal Cheryl Roberts' picture on the ones underneath.
And Jake the Snake came and ran in and
do you remember in the Cindies when he did that? On the Cindies, I think it was Superstars, when Jake came to the ring and pulled off his pants and they put the black box over it?
Yes, I remember that.
I don't, but...
Okay, this is what else was on that show. The Warrior beat the Honky Tonk Man. Great moment.
Intercontinental Championship match.
Dino Bravo with Frenchie Martin defeated Don Morocco.
The Rock.
Is that when he was rocking the fucking tie-dye?
Probably.
Yes.
With good old...
Superstar.
Fucking molester of girlfriends, Billy Graham?
Yes. Superstar Billy Graham molested Matt's fiance.
Demolition defeated the Hart Foundation.
Ugh, I hate
was that. During, I hate was that during the point where Jimmy Hart still had the contract on them?
When he was, like, saying that whatever they make, he gets a percent.
Yes.
That's when he managed the Rougeaus, I thought.
Yeah, no, he managed the Rougeaus, but he still had a piece of the Hart Foundation.
Probably.
Big Boss Man defeated Coco Beware. Jake Roberts beats Hercules. They gave
WWE
Jake Roberts,
Hall of Famer Coco Beware.
Dude, they gave Jake Roberts and Hercules 10 minutes.
That's was nine and a half, two
bear long. Hug, bear hug and forearms and body slams.
And the Mega Powers, Hogan and Savage with Miss Elizabeth, defeat the Mega Bucks, Ted DiBiase and Andre with Bobby Heenan and Virgil. Special guest referee Jesse Ventura. That went just about 14 minutes.
Do you recall all the special guest referees?
All of them?
Like, or in special enforcers? Or just, like... Lennox Lewis went to the ring with fucking the Bulldog at Wembley.
Well, that makes sense. Lennox
Sid
Lewis
Justice
was the
made his debut at SummerSlam, right?
Did he?
No, he didn't make his debut. That was his first deal. He was introduced before in like a promo.
Yeah, but I think that was the first
time I saw him in the ring.
Quote unquote in action was as a guest referee. You're right. That was for the 3-on-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
Sid Justice.
Yeah.
Sid Justice. What a fucking.
Do you want to call him?
We have his number still, right?
Jesus Christ.
Still on my phone.
My fondest memory of 91, not Bret Hart beating Mr. Perfect, fucking Ricky Steamboat. I'm sorry. When he was the dragon where they made him come out and blow fire.
That was a six-man they did, right?
God, yes.
It was him, Bulldog, and Tornado versus Power and Glory and the Warlord.
It was over-the-top cartoonish.
It's better than El Matador.
All right, I'll give you that.
I'll give you that. That's 100% true. But when they brought him back, and then he went to WCW afterwards, and he was a mid-carder, which, like, he was a job guy in WWE. Let's call a spade. He wasn't – and when he came back as a dragon, he had his little shtick, but he was a job guy.
Yeah, well,
rumor
was he pissed McMahon off because he wanted time off after he
won
the belt.
After and what belt?
When he won the Intercontinental belt.
Oh,
he
this
was
is
like,
way after that, though.
Yeah, but no, but he, but during his first run, he was like, can I take some time off? And Vince was like, not really, but So that's why we had the quick job to the Honky Tonk Man, and then he disappeared. And that's why he jobbed out of That's why he jobbed out of the world title tournament the next year. He disappeared right after that. You really didn't see the dragon from when he lost to Honky Tonk Man to the WrestleMania 4 tournament, right?
I don't know.
He had nothing else going on at that point.
You know, he was undefeated when he came back on TV during 91?
Against Iron Mike Sharp and
Barry Horowitz.
He lost only one match, a house show match against Skinner. And then after he lost that, he quit.
I would quit, too, if I lost to Skinner.
Steve.
It was rumored that Steamboat was booked to be squashed by The Undertaker on Superstars to build The Undertaker for his impending WWF Championship match against Hulk Hogan, that Steamboat chose to quit the WWF rather than lose to The Undertaker. Undertaker instead squashed Kerry Von Erich on Wrestling Challenge.
Sounds about right.
And then he went to WCW. He was a TV champ.
Yeah, this is the part of WCW that I just started watching this entire week.
He was tag team champions with Dustin Rhodes. He had a good run there. He was heavyweight champ.
Stuff with Austin too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What's that?
He was involved with some stuff with Steve Austin too, wasn't he?
Regal had great matches.
I get what you mean. He was mid-card, but WCW, like early 90s, that mid-card was really top-notch stuff.
It was all right. It wasn't bad.
They had a lot of pretty big names in the mid-card at that point.
To be honest with you, you had guys like Ron Simmons, and even like, if you want to call it mid-card, Sting was there, he was the main event guy. He's the most popular guy, but he was in like fourth match of the card at times.
No, understood. But they did have like a stacked roster at that point, I think.
I just literally watched months and months of WCW in 93, 94, and it was pretty good. You had the Hollywood Blondes, you had Harlem Heat were still there. You had.
Zbyszko was there, Arn Anderson, the whole like Dangerous Alliance story. Abdul the Butcher, your favorite, was there.
I hate Abdul the Butcher.
Mick Foley was kicking around at that point.
Or Hepsi.
Hepsi, whatever. I was waiting for you have AIDS.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
2006 SummerSlam on paper looks good. Very stacked.
Why are we going to see it?
No, just Chavo, Rey Mysterio, Big Show, Sabu, Hogan, Orton, Flair, Foley, Batista, Booker T, DX versus Vincent Shane, Edge against Cena.
Wow.
Actually, doesn't sound bad.
It's not bad. What can you find the WrestleMania where Triple H came back and fought? Not WrestleMania, SummerSlam, where it was him versus King Booker when Booker was the King of the Ring and Triple H. I think it was SummerSlam where Triple H fought Booker T. Is that a SummerSlam?
I'm looking. What year? Give me a.
I don't know.
I'm at 2005. Let's go 2003.
I'll go 2005.
That's got Jericho and Triple H.
That was a pretty. It was when Booker T won the King of the Ring. He was King Booker.
Oh, 2005. Hogan versus Shawn Michaels.
And
where Shawn Michaels
wouldn't put Hogan over.
No, Shawn Michaels bounced like a pinball. He oversold everything.
Might be wrong then. I thought there was something where one of them wouldn't go over for the other one.
Well, probably Hogan wouldn't go over for, wouldn't go over
yeah,
for
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think it was a SummerSlam. I'm at 2007.
Chris Masters defeated the Hurricane on Sunday Night Heat for SummerSlam 2005.
2007's got Triple H on the cover. Oh, no, that's it. He beat King Booker.
Yeah.
Booker.
2007.
That wasn't a title match, though. It was just Triple H's return.
Yeah.
Here's a blast from the past. So I'm looking at 2005. Randy Orton with Bob Orton defeated The Undertaker.
With Bob Undertaker.
With Bob Hep C Orton. Remember that? That was when Bob Orton got fired.
No.
I remember that.
I didn't watch wrestling for that whole time.
Bob Orton bled.
He bled.
And The Undertaker didn't know that he was Hep C positive.
And that got Bob
Orton
fired.
Let me see. John Cena beat Chris Jericho. Batista beat JBL in a no-holds-barred match for the World Championship.
Very underrated character. JBL.
Here we go. Rey Mysterio defeated Eddie Guerrero with Vicky Guerrero
with
in a ladder match for the custody of Dominic. Oh, boy, what a goose egg that fucking storyline was.
God. That's when they tried to turn Eddie heel again.
Oh, boy.
And it just wasn't working.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
And then he died.
Then he died.
Because they were going to put him back. They were going to, apparently, they were going to put the belt on him, but that's been disputed.
Did you talk about your favorite match at SummerSlam?
Mine was probably, it's a Bret Hart match. I think it was him versus Perfect at 91.
Nice.
When he won the belt.
Very nice. And Matt already talked about his.
His, I think, was also a Bret Hart match.
It was Bret Hart Bulldog. What about you, Fat Tits? Jesus. People like when I say that, by the way.
Jesus. It's like we're at church. It is Sunday. I mean, it's not. It's...
Yeah, we should have went to church today. We could have asked the gods about what they thought of John Cena, Brock Lesnar for this Sunday on the pay-per-view.
Can't wait.
You know
the
what?
The biggest fight of the summer.
So what is your favorite?
Honestly, yeah. Then you're going to think like, oh, he's just doing it. I loved the Mega Powers against the Mega Bucks.
Nothing wrong with that.
With Miss Elizabeth taking off the skirt, revealing the granny panties.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was a great moment.
She was sexy as hell. Come
Dude,
on.
She was beautiful. Dude, I loved older Elizabeth than younger Elizabeth. I loved WCW Elizabeth.
She was so slutty looking.
Exactly.
Oh, she was fantastic.
When she was with Luger and then he killed her.
And then he killed her.
Wow.
When right, Elizabeth died.
There was a lot of gimmicky matches at SummerSlam, too.
Sure were.
Seemed like casket match, jailhouse match.
Harlem. Wait, was the jailhouse match Bossman and the Mountie?
Yeah.
Oh, great moment. Where he goes, give me your finger, and he flips off the cop.
Probably was the first time that the finger was displayed.
And then they put him in the cell, and the screws are in there like, oh, hi. And he's like, get me out of here.
Fucking yep. Virgil winning the $1 million championship. That went nowhere.
Yeah, Jesus but good for Virgil. Christ.
I didn't know the LOD Nasty Boys at 91 was a street fight.
Neither did I.
There's somebody at your back. Is that Margie?
Yeah, it's all right.
I thought they had... No comment.
All right.
Really?
What? She had, like, man knees.
I'll be sure to tell her that.
No, don't tell her that. Don't be mean.
Well, talk amongst yourselves.
I didn't realize it was a street fight. The
yeah,
Nasty
it was
Boys.
A street fight. Now what? Where's he going?
I don't know.
The hot air in. Jesus. Fucking SummerSlam. SummerSlam was, like, such, like, an event. Like, when it was SummerSlam time, like, you got super excited for it. And the promos, let me see if I can find a promo.
The please. Sizzlers, they had, like, the...
Yes.
Like the sizzle thing. That's exactly how it went. But no, SummerSlam
I really think
was,
you lose...
You would get excited. But that back then, you would get excited for any pay-per-view because they were... And we're going to get off into a tangent, I'm sure. But...
They used this for 4 years? I don't remember this being the theme.
We should make up words.
Yeah, neither do I, actually. I got excited, but for
false
Here
reasons. Comes SummerSlam! The event of the summer!
I feel like you should play it again. We could sing along.
No, I don't want that.
But you got excited right. for SummerSlam. Like, and back then, you got excited for all the papers.
This is the SummerSlam That's music the SummerSlam. I remember.
This was the event center music. They used this for everything.
Do.
No way.
Liz takes her dress
off. Saw fucking the Rick Rude running on the beach.
The Bushwhackers, like, eating chicken out of some girl's ass.
What?
Yeah.
The Bushwhackers would always be on, like, the beach. Like, hey, chicken wings.
Ain't that right, Luke?
Hey, Cousin Luke. Hey, Cousin Butch.
Was Jameson ever at SummerSlam?
Sure he was. In 95, he was definitely one of those promos with, like, Sonny.
Sonny was involved in a few SummerSlams.
How about the fucking pre-show?
What about it?
Like...
The free-for-all? It was before the free-for-all.
It was like... You
remember the pre-show?
Yeah.
And remember, they would have, like, they would stop it and have the countdown until the show actually started?
Yeah, it'd be on the screen and then SummerSlam.
Do you remember...
And... The intermissions?
Intermissions, yes.
Absolutely, I do.
Early on, they would take 15-minute intermissions. Like, they would just be like, return in 15 minutes. Then they started doing like promos and then a 5-minute intermission. And then they just went completely through just doing promos and buy the SummerSlam hat on, you know, call the 800 number and order the t-shirt and the program and blah, blah, blah.
Do you want to hear random 1992 sure. SummerSlam promos?
We can, sure.
Is it in British?
No, there's a fucking shitty advertisement.
What's it an ad for?
I don't know. This dork's at a movie.
He's is it filled to... with blokes and wankers?
Oh, some fucking, like, Hanes. Hey, I hit the mute button, you fuck.
Well, while we're waiting for the commercial to finish, let's have a commercial of our own. We have... Matt looked in his closet, and he found a box. And it wasn't a box of wizardry. It was a box of pink and black Shining Wizards t-shirts. We have found some more. And I know we said we weren't going to have any more, but we still do. Fortunately for you out there, $15 shipped. Go to shiningwizards.com/merch. Pick up our pink and black shirts. They will be gone after these shirts go.
Very eloquent.
Because, I mean, I looked in my closet. Kevin looked in the trunk of his car. Eddie looked on the beach at Wildwood, and we couldn't find any more.
This honestly is the hottest item that we've ever had and probably will ever have. So
I don't know. We're working on something else.
We got something in the hopper.
But, are you ready? Sean Mooney is ready.
ShiningWizards.com/merch.
He doesn't give a fuck about pink and black shirts.
All right, come on, Sean Mooney.
Sean Mooney.
Crush. This is
going to
be great.
That's not Sean
Mooney. Slam in front of 80,000 people at Wembley.
Is this Repo Man?
It is. Of other people watching. I bet you're just a little bit nervous. Well, you know something, Crush? I do most of my work at night. Nobody's around.
What does it sound like? His balls in his face.
I get to do my work in front of all those people.
It's Crush Khrushchev.
I'm going to repossess your career.
Repo Man confident he will be able to withstand the superhuman strength of Crush. Also, we saw Money Incorporated in action.
Hello.
Now it's time to hear from their opponents.
Rocco.
Pocket Animal are standing by with Paul Ellering.
The best
and
was...
And Rocco.
Bobby Heenan's the dummy's driving the bike.
London, England. Wembley Stadium. Money Incorporated. As the old saying goes, money can't buy love. But it can pay your hospital bills, buy you a nice headstone, a nice, well, maybe we say a nice solid old casket, and a vault to place it in. You see what we're getting at? We don't like you. We don't like you at all. Tell them, big man. I can't imagine what's going through your stomach right now, Money Incorporated. The butterflies, the nervousness. When you go up my shoulders, Hawk, lift your head off. It's going to be one thing.
Okay, pause it for a minute. Now, look at how they filmed this vignette as opposed to the Repo Man. It's tight. It's on the four of them. It makes them look monstrously huge. That's awesome.
The big guys.
Like, you could barely see the logo behind them. That's how tight they have the shot. It just makes them look so much bigger.
I can't believe fucking Rocco. Ugh,
Rocco.
God.
The dummy's driving the bike. What Bobby Heenan, that's how great he was.
Was he talking about...
When he had Rocco on the when Paul Ellering was driving a bike, Rocco was on the front, and Bobby Heenan just made the remark,
"Yeah, but was
the
that...
dummy's driving the bike."
Well, that was meant to be at Paul Ellering's expense, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was
I don't know whose expense it was at, but it was just hysterical.
That was like the end of their WWF run, right?
Yeah. And then they went back to WCW.
Hawk went off the fucking deep end.
I remember that.
Hey, Lawler.
Dustin Rhodes was going to have a mystery partner at a Clash of the Champions, and Road Warrior Animal came out, but then Road Warrior Hawk came from the other side and was Hawk and Dustin Rhodes versus Rude and somebody.
Jesus.
Great story, right?
Good times.
SummerSlam was fucking
awesome. No, it's weird because they always did that with the Legion of Doom.
They did
it
twice.
It was like Hawk team with somebody, Animal team with somebody.
Well, Animal, I think, was hurt because it was a Starrcade or a Fall Brawl because... Animal ended up coaching the team of like Sting, Bulldog, Shockmaster, and I think Dustin Rhodes actually.
Well,
think about it.
Who was it? Animal was hurt for a while, so Hawk used to team with
Kenzuki,
that's
Kenzuki
right, Sasaki, the Power Warriors,
yeah.
Or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. He was the power warrior. Kazuki Sasaki was the power warrior.
And then, okay, your favorite addition to the Legion of Doom?
Draws.
Really?
No.
You wouldn't go with Heidenreich?
No.
Matt, your favorite?
I don't have one. I think adding anyone to tag teams is stupid.
No, but if you had to pick your favorite out of all the ones that they added on.
Kazuki Sasaki.
Oh, well, there you go.
How do you like them apples?
I liked Heidenreich. Especially when he was ass-raping Michael Cole in the back.
And he had his freaking skull face paint. That was bizarre.
Heidenreich.
Why didn't he ever change his gear, by the way? Why was he still wearing those stupid red trunks?
He had Baron von Raschke chest. He had no pectoralis muscles.
Kofi Kingston chest?
Pectoralis? No, Kofi has tits. Kofi's tits have heat.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag Kofi tits.
Jesus, we're still not doing that, are we?
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, we're still... That's our go-to
That's
bit.
Gone nowhere.
That's our go-to bit.
No, we've got a bunch of tweets with stupid...
With Kofi tits?
Kofi tits, yeah.
Did we really?
Yeah, we got like 10, 15.
I feel like we accomplished something.
When do they have to start getting like... fucking theme songs.
That was a marketing campaign,
like a theme.
Why not? That's what they do now, and then people go to iTunes and buy the songs and people make money.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Hey, what?
Yes.
All right.
We're talking about theme songs for pay-per-views. Although I think my favorite of all time is Deadly Game. No? Yes?
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember Deadly Game?
Deadly Game!
That was Survivor Series 98 when they had the tournament.
Right?
Oh, when The Rock became Corporate Rock.
Yeah, and he won the tournament final over Mick Foley when everybody thought it was going to be Corporate Mankind.
Yeah.
It's a Deadly Game! And Gilbert wrestled in the first round.
Yeah, and Mankind was against Mankind?
Gilbert.
Gilbert was a stud.
Yes, he was. He used to come out and the fireworks used to burn him.
And thank God you played something.
It's a Deadly Game. You don't remember this?
No.
I feel like we just recently played this.
I think we did too. Well, folks.
Roll the dice.
Yes.
Play your cards.
Sounds like Jericho.
Break the rules. That's who you are. See, not wear our shirts too. Whoever said
play it safe. You are really butthurt. Never
played the game.
Give it time.
It's been a year. So many players. Hasn't been a year. Too many
parts. I really thought that he wore the shirt on Raw a few weeks ago.
I saw that.
Dude, because I just saw the blue and I'm like, and then Kevin's like, didn't we give him a pink shirt? I was like, fuck.
Actually, I gave his freaking tour manager a pink one.
Ugh.
He wouldn't let anybody...
That was Kevin's version of giving him head to try to get backstage.
Chris Jericho, you butthurt me, all right? Hope Bray Wyatt kills you this Sunday.
Well, do we have anything more to say about SummerSlam?
I don't think so. I mean, it was
Are we done? I'm having fun, though.
I know, but...
Yeah.
We got to fro-yo. I got to do stuff still.
All right.
You got to go home and watch SummerSlams.
I have a show tonight, actually.
Oh, and he's got a show tonight. Every Sunday. That's nice. It's every Sunday, so I don't think it matters, right?
Yeah, see? It's every Sunday.
He's got a show Sunday night at Tierney's.
That's relevant.
Head on out there. Okay, you know.
So, I mean,
keep kayfabe.
In closing, what's your favorite SummerSlam? Just top to bottom.
Favorite? Probably 96. That was the one we all went to?
No,
was that
97?
97. Yeah, mine's 97.
All right.
Had a great time, I guess because I was there, but I left that show pretty happy.
I think we all forget about the most recent ones because everything is just so piled into one. There's probably a million great SummerSlams in the last 5-6 years that I just don't even know what the hell they were.
Not disagreeing, but for me, being there live, and I think it was a great card on top of that.
See, 97, I was there too. Wasn't a fan. Other than Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time, so that was awesome.
You didn't like China punching Mick Foley in the balls?
I don't even remember that, to be honest with you.
She slammed the cage door on his dome.
Yeah, but then she also punched him in the ass.
She punched him in the dick, too.
My favorite SummerSlam ever. I guess I'll go with the common one. I'll go Wembley. That was
92.
Cool.
92?
Yeah.
How about you, Matt?
I think I would probably have to go 90, just for Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. Is that 90?
91.
Just for the Hart Foundation Demolition, excuse me, Warrior Rude in a Cage. As much as I shit on Savage and Dusty.
If you will.
If you will. Power and Glory versus the Rockers was like my favorite thing. And then
I love
the Texas
guys.
Tornado beating Mr. Perfect, I thought was the greatest. When I had the little Hasbro figures, oh, that put Texas Tornado, he was top
Texas
of the food
Tornado
chain.
Had one of these.
Yeah, because he had the tornado punch. Yeah. So I'd say 90. I was still a little Hulkamaniac.
Cool.
So
awesome.
I mean, that's for me. But I mean, hey, you guys, when you listen to this, you let us know. You go on the Face Space, you tell us. You assholes are wrong, or I agree, or whatever.
And don't forget, we're going to have the thread going for SummerSlam. So if you guys are on the network, if you guys are buying the pay-per-view through your traditional means, either streaming it or actually purchasing it. Nice.
This is the highway to hell.
We'll close it out, right?
Absolutely.
Good call.
With this. So, I mean,
guys, just stay tuned. The Shining Wizards have amazing things on the horizon coming up September 20th. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Support all the guys on the Shining Wizards Network. And
don't forget our buddies at smash-wrestling.com, Smash Wrestling up in the Canada. Our buddies at Beyond Wrestling, lookmondofans.com.
Yes.
Our friends at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, we're on September 20th. They're coming back to Rahway.
And you, the fans. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys. Don't forget, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio.
Hope you enjoyed our somewhat throwback to all the SummerSlams.
This is going to be so fun to listen to.
The crazy menagerie that we got ourselves into.
And don't forget to check out our friends on the Shining Wizards Network. Yeah, great shows, great people.
So. Yeah, do that. Check out the network.
I may do that when I get home.
Oh, thank you guys. This was our SummerSlam. I can't even say review because we were all over the place.
Yeah.
Our SummerSlam bullshit.
Yeah. Just fun. Shooting shit.
Can we call it like...
Shooting the summer shit.
Oh, can we play a game before we go?
Yes.
Sure.
Can you stop the music real quick?
I want to play a game.
All right. Go back to the beginning, but just where he first starts singing.
You're going to get racist.
No, listen real close to what he says. Have you heard this, Kevin?
No.
Listen. Wait, speed it up a little bit. Get to the words.
No, I know what you're going to do.
No, making fun of AC/DC?
No, listen. No. Listen real careful, Kevin. Listen when the words come in. And you guys can play at home, too. The third line. Listen real careful. Tell me what you think he's saying.
Yep, got it. Yep.
The worst.
Good night, everyone.
I knew where you were going with that.
Of course you did. That's why you played along.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga. Keep it up, I'm a nigga. Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
Oh, boy. Now, why do you?
Your face.
Aw.
In your face. Keep it up, my nigga. Fuck it.
Good night.
See you guys
later.
Enjoy SummerSlam.